There is a moral magnetism attached to joyful suffering, which cannot be equaled in any other connection of life.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We're looking in particular at that body of material that relates to verses 10 to 12 of Matthew, the fifth chapter. The bliss or the blessedness of those who are subjected to persecution. Jesus was so bold as to say, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake." And again in verse 11, "Blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I believe that loyalty to Jesus Christ, no matter the cost, is the essence of this beatitude. Loyalty to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ calls us to be loyal to Himself in every circumstance, in every connection of life. And He wishes that loyalty to be of such an intensity that no matter the cost, we are willing to stand alone and identify with Him. Loyalty is adopting as your own the wishes and the goals of the one you are serving, namely the Son of God. Adopting as your own and integrating into your life on a very practical basis the wishes and the goals of the one you are serving. Beyond that, loyalty is learning to stand by the one you are serving, even when conflicting pressures increase and arise. That is the essence of this beatitude. And there are really two points as I look at this beatitude that I want to discuss with you, and one we've already looked at. One, the reasons for persecution, and secondly, the response to persecution. And as we looked at that subject, the reasons for persecution, we looked at it both negatively and positively. It does not say, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for being objectionable or rude." Nor does he say, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for a cause." Nor does it say, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for being good or being noble or being self-sacrificing," for the simple reason that most people who are noble and good and self-sacrificing do not suffer persecution. Technically, as we look at this beatitude, verses 10 to 12, from a positive point of view, there are two basic reasons for suffering, which Jesus gives here. One is loyalty to a set of principles for righteousness' sake. That's what he says in verse 10. And then, secondly, the second legitimate basis upon which we ought to suffer persecution, be willing to suffer persecution, and wherein we can say this beatitude and the bliss of it does apply to us, is not only loyalty to a set of principles, but also, secondly, loyalty to a very special person. And that's what Jesus says in verse 11, "For my sake." For righteousness' sake, verse 10, for my sake, if you face certain pressures in your everyday life for no other reason than that you have been loyal to this very special set of principles, righteousness' sake, and to this very special personality, Jesus Christ, you identify with that name, you are loyal to that name, you are unashamed to declare it and live under its jurisdiction, then the blessing of this beatitude is yours. Now, Jesus goes a step further and he says, I want you to see here how I want you to respond to this persecution. You're going to experience it if you're loyal to my principles of righteousness and to my being. If you are loyal in that way, you're going to experience persecution. Now, how are you to respond to it? We've seen the reasons for it. Now, the response to it very quickly. The response to persecution. Do you notice what he says there? He says in verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Now, that is absolutely shattering to the human psychology. That is shattering to the human psychology apart from Jesus Christ. When you know the moral and spiritual dynamic of a living relationship with Jesus Christ, and you've tapped the eternal benefits and blessings that only God can give to you through His Son, you're willing to pay any price to enjoy those blessings. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. But I want to suggest to you two things. I think if we're going to rejoice and be exceeding glad in persecution or in difficult circumstances or when the suffering comes, I think it will require at least two things of us. Number one, it will require preparation. And number two, it will require motivation. Now, that preparation, we have to go outside the passage to see it, but I think it relates to this passage. A significant key in learning to respond properly to persecution and to difficult circumstances is the preparation of the mind. And that's why Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, that's why Peter says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." Get ready. I think there are at least three things we could say about that. And as these become a reality in our lives, we're arming ourselves with the same mind. What will it mean? It will mean three things. It will mean, number one, that we must not retaliate. That's what it means to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind when it comes to suffering, a difficult circumstance. One, we must not retaliate. It means, number two, that we must not even feel resentment. Now it goes a little deeper. Luke 23, verse 34. And three, we must never be depressed. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. This is a very unique way of living. There is no life like this life we call the Christian experience. In these difficult circumstances of adversity, Jesus says we must not retaliate, we must not feel resentment, we must not even be depressed. We've always thought that to be a Christian means that I have a fire escape from hell, and that I occasionally read the Bible and pray, and that I go to church when it doesn't interrupt my schedule, and that occasionally I witness if it doesn't cost me too much. But this beatitude teaches us that it means much more than that to be a Christian. It means that we have a totally new, radically different, infinitely superior and valuable way of life in Jesus Christ. And we are so loyal to this way of life, we're willing to die for it. It's a powerful thing to be a Christian. So Jesus says, and Peter says, prepare yourself. That's the first step. Arm yourselves with a like mind, with the same mind that Jesus had. Expect it. Anticipate it. Don't be surprised when it comes. Find out how Jesus responded to suffering. And then to depend upon the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit and the mighty influence of Scripture as you integrate it into your life to give you the ability to respond in this unique and sobering way. But now, the Lord goes a step further. He's very sensitive to our needs. He says, here's preparation, 1 Peter 4, verse 1. But now he says, I know you need a motivation. You see, the gospel is not impersonal and it's not inhuman. And God knows that we require powerful inducements to fulfill His will. And so He says, I want you to see that there's a twofold motivation for behaving in this way. I want you to rejoice and be exceeding glad for two reasons. You notice it there in verse 12? Number one, future rewards. For great is your reward in heaven. And number two, the fellowship of the martyrs. You have the privilege of identifying with those great prophets of old who gave up their lives for the truth of God. And a man's company is a revelation of a man's character. Now, let's look at those for just a moment. One, he says, you have these future rewards. For great is your reward in heaven. I wonder if I could look at that with you for just a moment from a twofold perspective. First, I believe there are a series of current blessings that grow out of persecution. Follow me now if you can. Future reward. First, I believe there are a series of current blessings that grow out of persecution. I'm only going to mention three, very briefly. And then secondly, I believe there is a consummate blessing, heaven, and all that's involved in it. One, there is a series of current blessings, and two, there is a consummate blessing, heaven. Great is your reward. What are these blessings? I say there are a series of current blessings that grow out of a context of suffering. What are these blessings? Have you ever thought about this? I would say that there are at least three of them. Number one, persecution is confirmation of your salvation. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 28. Persecution is confirmation of your salvation. When the Christian suffers for righteousness' sake and for Christ's sake, do you know what he can do? He can turn to Satan and he can turn to his tormentors and he can say, thank you. Maybe he should duck once he said that. But he can turn to Satan and to his tormentors and he can say, thank you. You are giving me proof that I am a child of God. By its response, the world is telling you that you are a man apart. You are a woman apart. You are a young person, a teenager in your school, apart. The world is telling you that you belong to another realm. The world is telling you, without saying it in theological terms, that you have been delivered from the domain of Satan and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And I want to tell you, that's a cause for rejoicing. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Persecution is confirmation of your salvation. You belong to an entirely different realm. You belong to the kingdom of God. Rejoice. Now, secondly, persecution is not only confirmation of your salvation, but it provides for expansion of your witness. That's the second current blessing. Expansion of your witness. When the world sees a godly believer, follow me now. When the world sees a godly believer rejoice in persecution, it realizes two things. It realizes, number one, the uniqueness of the Christian faith. There's no faith like that on the face of the globe. It realizes, number one, the uniqueness of the Christian faith, and number two, the impotence of its own way of living. They too have their problems. They know what it is to undergo suffering and difficulty, and they do not know how to deal with it or bear up under it, but the Christian does. You see, there is a moral magnetism. Follow me now. There is a moral magnetism attached to joyful suffering, which cannot be equaled in any other connection of life. That's why Peter could say in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, in a context dealing with suffering Christians. Peter could say in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Acknowledge Him as Lord. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. He means that men will be attracted to you if you joyfully bear up under difficult circumstances, and you will be given opportunities to share your faith. That is a cause for rejoicing. Expansion of your witness. If I undergo difficulty and persecution and suffering with a joyful spirit as I respond to it, as did the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to bear fruit in my witness. Here's the real strength of our witness. Here's a godly man who knows what it is not to live in an ivory tower, but in the nitty-gritty grassroot level experiences of life, and to suffer hardship and adversity and difficulty and bear up under it joyfully. There is a moral magnetism to that, and that increases the power of his witness, and that brings down into his life joy and rejoicing.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
There is a fantastic present power in the anticipation of a future hope or reward.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.